Marshall Report, Minnesota protests. Dozens of protesters were arrested as outrage over the in-custody death of a black man in Minneapolis, George Floyd, spilled into streets across America. Correspondent Josh Campbell says there are calls to mobilize as many as 1,700 National Guard soldiers in the Twin Cities.
So many of the peaceful protesters have pointed out to us that the destruction does not represent their cause. This was a segment, a faction of people that were obviously outraged. We're constantly hearing from those who are calling for police accountability.
Among the cities hard hit by the protests were Atlanta, where Mayor Keisha Lance Bottom said, if you want change in America, register and get out to vote.
You are disgracing our city. You are disgracing the life of George Floyd and every other person who has been killed in this country.
In Denver, Mayor Michael Hancock said this violent distraction only divides us, drowning out legitimate calls for justice. I'm Barbara Cusack. The Supreme Court rejected a California church's challenge to the state's new pandemic-related rules on worship services. Siding with court liberals, Chief Justice John Roberts said California officials had leeway to impose restrictions to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and had not singled out houses of worship for unfair treatment. Correspondent Nick Robertson reports President Trump said that he's withdrawing funding from the World Health Organization over response to the coronavirus pandemic.
The United States becomes more isolated. China doesn't necessarily get a bigger say at the WHO. It's still being criticized by, you know, the United States allies for not providing enough information in the early days about what was happening with coronavirus in China. But by default, China's voice get stronger.
SpaceX and NASA plan to try again today for a landmark launch of two astronauts from Florida. The mission would mark the first space flight of NASA astronauts from U.S. soil in 9 years. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
The CDC put out safety guidelines amid the coronavirus in advance of businesses bringing back employees into the workplace.
Upon arriving at work, employees should get a temperature and symptom check. Inside the office, desks should be 6 feet apart, and if that's not possible, employers should consider erecting plastic shields around the desks. Seating should be barred in common areas, and face covering should be worn at all times. In those large conference rooms, they'll likely become a thing of the past. And another likelihood, many companies may decide to save money with smaller offices and keep workers working from home. I'm Jeff McKay.
Transcripts of phone calls that played a pivotal role in the Russia investigation were declassified and released. They show that Michael Flynn, as an advisor to then-President-elect Trump, urged Russia's ambassador to be even-keeled in response to punitive Obama administration measures. Flynn also assured to have a better conversation about relations between the two countries after Trump became president. I'm Barbara Cusack.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to CNBC.com/small business.
Right now, home sweet home has never been sweeter. Our homes are more important than ever, and finding people we trust to take care of them is just as important. For over 20 years, Home Advisor has been connecting homeowners with trusted local plumbers, electricians, roofers, and more. And now we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the Home Advisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/offer200 for details. That's homeadvisor.com/offer200.
WMAL traffic. I'm Michelle Murray. Watch for accident activity in College Park on the inner loop of the Beltway at Route 1. It is confined to the shoulder, but use caution through the area. Also in the Beltway on the inner loop at 66 on that ramp, watch out for the right lane. Left lane closure of the ramp to go westbound on 66 through that long-term work zone. Traveling on westbound 66, you will find some construction setting up between Route 29 in Gainesville and Route 15 in Haymarket along the two right lanes.
Money news that may make you laugh. This is the Stacking Benjamin Show.
Isn't it wild? What a difference a year makes.
Host Joe Saucy-Eye and crew will help you survive these troubled times.
It's only $5,000, so let's cash it out. Big, big, big mistake.
I know, I've done it.
Get great financial advice with humor.
Oh, and you know something else you get to put off? For many people, paying those student loans.
Listen and subscribe to the Stacking Benjamin Show, free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy audio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I love you, Amy.
The time is now to rise up. Gone are the days of being locked into one data option by your wireless company. We're humans. We need flexibility. Let us change our data options when we want to. It's time we call the shots on our phone bills. It's time we took a stand and switched to Xfinity Mobile. We can switch data options anytime, all online. Only Xfinity Mobile works for the people.
Hey, what about 5G?
Yes, 5G is now included with all new data options at no extra cost. One more thing, pineapple belongs on pizza. It should be on every pizza. Should have quit while I was ahead.
Switch and save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Your wireless, your rules. Only with Xfinity Mobile. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Go to XfinityMobile.com or call 1-800-XFINITY today. Restrictions apply. Requires postpay Xfinity Internet 5G in select locations only.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Taxes, taxes, taxes. They shouldn't be the driver behind your investment decisions, but tax efficiency could make a big difference in what you owe Uncle Sam. Hi, this is Greg Smith, co-host of WML's Wise Investor Show, reminding you that your financial advisor can help you make sure that your portfolio is tax smart and in line with your goals.
Greg Smith and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company. To reach Greg, call 1-866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jen Hapman, our producer this morning. And a fourth night of protests and unrest around the country. The violence has now spread to 20 states. Protesters and violence from Minneapolis to Atlanta to Bakersfield to the White House. The White House was on lockdown early Friday evening. Protesters attempting to break down barriers. The crowd thinned for a while, but the crowds grew again after 10 o'clock. By 11 o'clock last night, Secret Service agents were in riot gear in front of the White House at Lafayette Park. They were hit with projectiles, bottles of water, firecrackers, and reports of bricks thrown at Secret Service officers as well last night in front of the White House. Also, one officer was injured at the White House in front of Lafayette Park. That was last night in Washington. In Minneapolis, it was chaos once again. There was a curfew that went into effect at 8 o'clock, but that curfew did not curb the violence and fires and looting in Minneapolis last night. There was a press conference at about 1:30 in the morning local time in Minneapolis. The governor was there. The mayor of Minneapolis was there. And the governor explained the situation in Minneapolis last night.
The wanton destruction, and specifically of ethnic businesses that took generations to build, are being torn down. All of those infrastructures of civil society and the things that make our city great, which lends me to believe as we look at this, the disenfranchisement that went with what we witnessed with George's death is one thing. but the absolute chaos. This is not grieving, and this is not making a statement that we fully acknowledge needs to be fixed. This is life-threatening, dangerous to the most well-qualified forces that are out there facing this.
If you were watching cable news last night, you saw the images, and you probably asked yourself the question, where are the police and the National Guard and the state police in Minneapolis? And the governor tried to explain that.
To put this into perspective, the force that we have out there now is about three times larger than the one in the 60s, which was the largest during the race riots. And they're out there right now. And the capacity to be able to do offensive actions, and they're out there doing that, arresting the folks that we can. But as you've seen, there's already shots being fired back at our people. This arson that is taking place puts many people at risk. Our firefighters are specifically and very open to target, and Minneapolis Fire has been responding heroically. And I tell you, all the citizens, the response time is fast as we want to get it. And that responsibility, as I said today, for coordination lies with us. I will take responsibility for the underestimating the wanton destruction and the size of this crowd. We have deployed a force that I think, as we sat down together and talked about, would have in any other civilian military or civilian police operation worked. But the terrifying thing is to hear people who've seen this and myself of looking at this. It resembles more of a military operation at times now, as especially ringleaders moving from place to place.
And that is the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. And he did a press conference. He took questions. Again, this was at like 1:30 in the morning, local time in Minneapolis this morning. And he was pressed on the lack of police presence.
Americans are watching on television as fires burn, yep. Buildings are looted, people of Minneapolis in danger, and they don't see the National Guard. They don't see law enforcement. I know you say they're out there, but people are not seeing them.
There's simply more of them than us, and the operation is so much broader. We are out there, I can assure you. They are in heated confrontations that are putting folks at risk. We are prioritizing those critical assets, and I know the heartbreak that brings to people. When the business that you fought your life for to try and get burns down, that seems like a pretty damn critical asset to you. We're protecting the Federal Reserve. We're protecting those infrastructures downtown. We're protecting power stations and things like that. But they're out there. And as I said, this is the largest single deployment in the state's history. We ask people, we put a stay-at-home order in, and they don't give one damn about that. And they are out there now to cause as much damage as they can.
That is the governor of Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz. The violence spreading to Atlanta. There was actually looting at the CNN Center in Atlanta. And the mayor of Atlanta also hosting a press conference yesterday evening. This is Keisha Lance Bottoms. She is the mayor of Atlanta.
What I see happening on the streets of Atlanta is not Atlanta. This is not a protest. This is not in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. This is chaos.
And she continued.
This isn't about justice. If you're breaking out windows and you're running down the street with liquor in your hands, whose memory is that honoring?
Keisha Lance Bottoms, the mayor of Atlanta. And that's just a sense of two cities around the country, and of course here in Washington at Lafayette Park in front of the White House. Now, the president has ordered the military to be on standby. Get ready orders were sent verbally on Friday after President Trump asked Defense Secretary Mark Esper for military options to help quell the unrest in Minneapolis after those protests descended again into looting and arson across Minneapolis last night. Soldiers from Fort Bragg in North Carolina and Fort Drum in New York have been ordered to be ready to deploy within 4 hours if called. That according to three people with direct knowledge of the orders. Soldiers in Fort Carson, Colorado and Fort Riley in Kansas have been told to be ready within 24 hours. That's the latest. Now, we're going to go to Minneapolis next. We're going to check traffic and weather shortly, and then we'll go to Daryl Forges, who is in Minneapolis this morning reporting for us, and we'll get the sense of what happened last night in Minneapolis as he was there and watching the fires and watching the violence. We do want to mention, obviously, that we have our regular lineup. This morning, we will be talking with Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times. Gordon Chang will join us a little bit later on in this hour. The president making an announcement yesterday afternoon about a China policy moving forward in the wake of a China crackdown on Hong Kong. We'll get the read from Gordon Chang on that. And Gordon has some very strong feelings on the coronavirus, the origins, and whether indeed China did unleash the coronavirus. We'll talk with Gordon Chang about that before 7 o'clock this morning. John Gizzi will join us, and we're going to be talking with John Gizzi about the president's response to the situation across the country and also the impact that the crisis will have on the Democratic presidential campaign, including Amy Klobuchar. Of course, she is a senator from Minnesota, but she was also a prosecutor, and at one point in Amy Klobuchar's career as a prosecutor, she actually dealt with police officer Derek Chauvin, the officer who has now been taken into custody in Minnesota, and she did not press forward with the case against Derek Chauvin over 15 years ago. And we'll talk with John Gizzi about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Cheryl Atkinson will join us as well, and we're going to be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. And when we talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, we will talk with him about the deployment of the National Guard and also if they do call up members of the military, the Army units from Fort Bragg and Fort Drum and the other installations we talked about. We'll talk with Tony about that. And then K.T. McFarland will join us, and you may have seen in the news that the transcripts of the telephone conversations between General Michael Flynn and the Russian ambassador Kislyak, those transcripts that were of telephone conversations during the transition in December of 2016, the transcripts were released yesterday, and we'll get a reaction from K.T. McFarland. And if you listen to the show and are familiar with K.T. McFarland here on the program, you'll know that she was the Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration and was part of the team with General Flynn and was forced to leave the White House when General Flynn left the White House. So obviously that impacting her career, and we'll get a reaction from her as to those transcripts in the release yesterday. That's all coming up on the Saturday Morning Update, but first off, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
WMAL Traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Watch for accident activity in College Park on the inner loop of the Beltway at Route 1. It is confined to the shoulder, but use caution through the area. Also in the Beltway on the inner loop at 66 on that ramp, watch out for the right lane. Left lane closure of the ramp to go westbound on 66 through that long-term work zone. Traveling on westbound 66, you will find some construction setting up between Route 29 in Gainesville and Route 15 in Haymarket along the two right lanes. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday. We will see falling levels of humidity with dew points back in the 50s by this afternoon. Highs today into the lower 80s. Tonight clear and comfortably cool. Lows in the 50s in the suburbs, near 60 degrees downtown. Sunday, more of the same. Sunny with low humidity. Highs cooler in the lower 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's Capital, 68 degrees, 618 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. We saw violence and protests around the country last night over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Daryl Forges joins us this morning reporting from Minneapolis. Daryl, thank you for being with us.
Great. Good morning.
Well, there was a curfew in effect after 8 o'clock in Minneapolis last night, but from what a lot of us saw on cable news coverage, it did not appear to be enforced. Tell us what you've seen on the ground in Minneapolis.
Yeah, Rick, once that the curfew was implemented at 8, people and protesters I spoke with did not care. Actually, they had a police presence, a heavy law enforcement presence earlier, and then right at the 8 o'clock mark, Rick, they actually started throwing out tear gas, and we got a whiff of it as well. So it was crazy. But then after that, we really didn't see law enforcement after that. People were just going out, setting businesses, like a post office I'm actually looking at as we speak, is set on fire at this point. And people have been doing a lot of different things. So when it comes to that curfew, it really didn't have any effect because protesters continued to really have their voices and their opinions heard all throughout the night.
And do you get a sense that many of these protesters are from out of town? In other words, there seems to be a difference in protesters and the more violent instigators.
Yeah, I was speaking with one of my producer about that. We actually saw a couple of California tags. We've seen a couple of Illinois tags. Quite frankly, there were a lot of people out here, Rick, who are in good spirit, you know, protesting many peacefully early in the afternoon because of the death of George Floyd, right? But then, of course, and I have to say it, Rick, we have some bad actors out here as well, the people who really are trying to instigate certain things when it came to this protest as well. So you saw a mixture of that. But as the day got later and later, you started seeing people with their cars doing donuts, storming the police precinct that caught fire the other day and continued to beat it with bats and bricks and standing on top of an unstable roof. We just seen things like that. So the people here are just continuing to just do that in so many different ways, and we've been seeing that. And so far, it's just been a mixture of people that have been trying to do this protest and what they believe is the right way, and others who, quite frankly, Rick, have just been bad actors.
The officer was charged on Friday with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Did that change the tone at all among the protesters?
No, Rick, not at all. You know, there was actually a chant earlier on Friday from protesters, and the chant was, one down, three to go, meaning one down meaning that officer that is in police custody, but three to go meaning the other three officers that were involved in George Floyd's death are still out there, those former police officers. So speaking of protesters, Rick, they say that they're not going to stop until all four former police officers are in custody. So at this point, they're not happy about it. And in fact, they're also upset about the charges on that officer, former officer, that's in custody. They believe that it should be first-degree murder instead of third-degree murder. On Thursday, it was a lot of stuff going on. But on Friday, things, even though it was still bad, still businesses and buildings caught fire, but it was much of a different scene on Friday compared to Thursday.
Daryl Forges reporting from Minneapolis this morning. Daryl, thank you very much for being with us.
Rick, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
6:22, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. And President Trump at the White House yesterday addressed the George Floyd death. And the president also spoke with the family of George Floyd yesterday as well. But this is what the president had to say in terms of sort of a summary of his feelings about what he saw in that video.
Terrible thing. We all saw what we saw. And it's very hard to even conceive of anything other than what we did see. Should never happen, should never be allowed to happen, a thing like that. But we're determined that justice be served. And I spoke to members of the family, terrific people, and we'll be reporting as time goes by.
Now, the president was at the White House last night as there were protests taking place across Pennsylvania Avenue at Lafayette Park. And this is what the president had said earlier in the day about the rights of protesters.
We also have to make the statement, and it's very important, that we have peaceful protesters and support the rights for peaceful protesters. We can't allow a situation like happened in Minneapolis to descend further into lawless anarchy and chaos, and we understand that very well. It's very important, I believe, to the family, to everybody, that the memory of George Floyd be a perfect memory. Let it be a perfect memory. the looters should not be allowed to drown out the voices of so many peaceful protesters. They hurt so badly what is happening, and it's so bad for the state and for that great city.
Much of the concern of the protesters, of course, is justice, and President Trump addressed the issue of justice and also law enforcement.
So we are working very closely with the Justice Department. We're working with local law enforcement. We're working with everybody, and we're speaking with the family. And hopefully everything can be fairly taken care of. I understand the hurt. I understand the pain. People have really been through a lot. The family of George is entitled to justice, and the people of Minnesota are entitled to live in safety. Law and order will prevail. The Americans will honor the memory of George and the Floyd family. It's very important to us. It's very important to me to see that everything is taken care of properly. It's a horrible, horrible situation.
That's the president speaking at the White House yesterday. Late in the afternoon yesterday at the White House, the president addressed China policy. And as you've heard this week, China cracking down once again on Hong Kong. And that has prompted a reaction from the president. He's taking a number of steps. We'll talk about them with Gordon Chang coming up within the next half hour. But this is what the president had to say. And this is just one of the policy announcements.
For years, the government of China has conducted illicit espionage to steal our industrial secrets, of which there are many. Today, I will issue a proclamation to better secure our nation's vital university research and to suspend the entry of certain foreign nationals from China who we have identified as potential security risks. I am also taking action to protect the integrity of America's financial system, by far the best in the world.
President Trump, of course, addressing the issues with China and upcoming policy. It was intended to be a press conference, but he made an announcement and then walked off without making any further contact with reporters at that event at the White House yesterday afternoon. It's 6:27. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Clayton Neville. He's been covering the SpaceX launch. It is scheduled for this afternoon. As of this morning, there is a 50-50 chance of a launch of SpaceX. President Trump is scheduled to go to Florida to witness the launch. But again, at this point, it's 50-50 due to the weather in South Florida. That's all coming up on the Saturday Morning Update. Stay with us.
Hey, everyone. It's Laura from Garden Answer. Your backyard is your sanctuary, and spending time outdoors is more important than ever. So make it count by planting proven winners flowering shrubs. Hydrangeas, roses, lilacs, and evergreens to help you plant a beautiful outdoor oasis you'll enjoy for years to come. Your local garden center is ready to help with a great selection and curbside pickup or delivery. Just ask for the plants in the white containers. Make your garden the best it can be with Proven Winners flowering shrubs.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to cnbc.com/small business.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, like Prudential and Mutual of Omaha, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-589-5599. That's 800-589-5599. 800-589-5599. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Right now, home sweet home has never been sweeter. Our homes are more important than ever, and finding people we trust to take care of them is just as important. For over 20 years, Home Advisor has been connecting homeowners with trusted local plumbers, electricians, roofers, and more. And now we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the Home Advisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/offer200 for details. That's homeadvisor.com/offer200.
In the news at this hour, days after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, people took to the streets to protest in dozens of cities around the country. They marched, chanted, stopped traffic, and in some cases turned violent toward police, protesting the death of the handcuffed African-American man with a white police officer pressing a knee into his neck after the man stopped moving. Georgia's governor mobilized the National Guard to protect Atlanta, where demonstrators set a police car and American flag on fire. There was looting in front of the CNN Center. Three officers injured in Atlanta. The iconic logo sign at CNN headquarters was spray-painted with graffiti. There was also a break into a restaurant in Atlanta. Fires burned again in Minneapolis across the city last night. A key ally of Joe Biden says that Senator Amy Klobuchar now seems a less likely choice to become the running mate on Biden's presidential ticket. That follows, of course, the death of George Floyd in police custody in Minneapolis. Representative James Clyburn of South Carolina, who helped rescue Biden's presidential campaign this year by boosting him to that primary victory in the state of South Carolina, well, Jim Clyburn says that Klobuchar faces very tough timing. Now, Klobuchar, of course, is a Democratic senator from Minnesota now. Prior to coming to the Senate, she was a prosecutor in the county that includes Minneapolis. Under her, no police officers involved in the deaths of people in custody were charged with crimes. And again, Clyburn says Klobuchar is facing very tough timing. The former Minneapolis police officer who was shown in the video putting his knee on George Floyd's neck, Derek Chauvin, was fired Tuesday morning along with three other officers. Well, he was taken into custody Friday. He faces charges of third-degree murder and manslaughter. That, according to the Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman, that announcement was made yesterday. Floyd had been handcuffed for allegedly passing a phony $20 bill at the corner store. He refused to get into a squad car and, according to police, was intentionally falling down, saying that he was claustrophobic and struggling to breathe. That according to the complaint filed by the prosecutors. While standing outside the car, Mr. Floyd began saying and repeating that he could not breathe. When the cuffed Floyd was eventually put face down on the pavement, the defendant placed his left knee in the area of Mr. Floyd's head and neck, that according to prosecutors. It's 6:33. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Watch for accident activity in College Park on the inner loop of the Beltway at Route 1. It is confined to the shoulder, but use caution through the area. Also in the Beltway on the inner loop at 66 on that ramp, watch out for the right lane, left lane closure of the ramp to go westbound on 66 through that long-term work zone. Traveling on westbound 66, you will find some construction setting up between Route 29 in Gainesville and Route 15 in Haymarket along the two right lanes. Now from GarageDoryPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday. We will see falling levels of humidity with dew points back in the 50s by this afternoon. highs today into the lower 80s. Tonight, clear and comfortably cool. Lows in the 50s in the suburbs, near 60 degrees downtown. Sunday, more of the same. Sunny with low humidity, highs cooler in the lower 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
67 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:34.
Right now, the world feels different as we stay apart to make sure we can safely come back together. Till then, there is something you can do without even leaving your home. Respond to the 2020 census online, by phone, or by mail. The census impacts where hundreds of billions in federal funding will go for things like hospitals, schools, and roads. Now is the time to go to 2020census.gov. It's as easy as it is important. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Staying home, avoiding friends and family, wearing a mask everywhere you go. So much of our life has changed. Those precautions help, but if you get sick anyway, having untreated heart disease, diabetes, or even being overweight can affect how easily you recover. Fortunately, it's never too late to make the changes that can reduce your risk for serious illness. That's why you need the Princeton Longevity Center. Their caring experts give you the time, care, and attention you need. And with the latest preventive medicine technology, Princeton Longevity Center can find the health risks that a regular annual physical can miss. We all need to take precautions these days, but with private waiting rooms, personal protection for all our patients and staff, and ongoing disinfection, Princeton Longevity is committed to safeguarding your health in our offices. There will be good times again with friends and family. Take care of your health to be there for them with the Princeton Longevity Center. Call now, 888-8000-PLC. That's 888-8000-PLC, or go to PrincetonLongevityCenter.com.
Children are spending more time at home. Teachers, parents, neighbors, and friends, it's up to you to keep them safe. Now more than ever, it's important to stay connected. By phone, video chat, and social media. If you have concerns or see changes in a child, be there for them. Ask questions. Seek help. Report suspected child abuse or neglect.
Thank you for joining us on the Saturday Morning Update. It's great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler, and joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to lead off with Kayleigh McEnany. She is the new White House press secretary. She's getting strong reviews from some people, and she's being criticized by, obviously, other people who are not real fond of her very direct responses to some of the media questions that are kind of those setup questions.
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, that kind of thing has been going on ever since she took her office, which was only on April the 7th. And let's talk about the people that are fans of Kayleigh. Now, for those who don't know, she's only 32 years old, and she is the 31st White House press secretary. She's taken charge here in the middle of a pandemic and also unprecedented hostility towards President Trump. If it could ever get any worse, it's worse now. And she has two very significant articles about her this week, which you might want to look at. And the first comes from Roger Kimball. Roger Kimball is the editor and publisher of the New Criterion, and he's also the publisher of Encounter Books, which is pretty interesting stuff. Anyway, he wrote an essay for Spectator USA. This is what he said. Is Kayleigh McEnany the best press secretary in history? I think she may be. True, it's early. She was elevated to the position only in April and presided over her first briefing just a few weeks ago on May 1st. But so far, her tenure has been glorious. I love that word that Mr. Kimball used, glorious, for Kayleigh. Anyway, he says, despite having attended both Georgetown and Harvard, where she took a law degree, she remains quick-witted, forthright, and occupies a can't-free zone that suffuses the James S. Brady press briefing room with a spirit of patriotic candor. How about that? I like that a lot. Anyway, you might want to check that his essay there out, Mr. Kimball. But also, Kayleigh got a very nice article this week from David Brody, very smart guy over at the Christian Broadcasting Network, or CBN. And he wrote about her faith in God and her love of country. Very refreshing. You can find that at CBN.com. So if you think that our friend Kaylee gets a lot of crummy press, at least she got two very nice articles this week you might want to take a peek at.
All right, so there's some positive comments about Kaylee McEnany. How about the comparison between Donald Trump and Winston Churchill?
Oh, yes. This is an interesting comparison indeed. This is a new book that has come out, and the title kind of explains all. Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization. Interesting, huh? Anyway, this was written by Nick Adams. He's the author of six other books, and he has sized up these two very high-profile, very distinctive leaders in a very kind of compelling book. You might want to take a peek at this. Anyway, here's what he has to say. Neither man made any effort to conceal his true self or conform to expectations. They were unapologetically authentic, both brimming with confidence, both loved their country, both intensely disliked, even hated, alpha males, clear thinkers and plain speakers, and both prepared to stare down their enemies while standing up for their country. Again, this is from Nick Adams. Again, he's the author of six other books. He does point out the fact that Winston Churchill was 5'6", while President Trump is 6'3", and that Winston Churchill liked to take daily naps in his pajamas, while President Trump doesn't sleep very much, apparently, according to some press reports. And neither man made any effort to conceal his true self. Interesting. He also says that the book is about the American people and the English people and all the stuff that they are facing. And interestingly enough, Newt Gingrich has written the preface on this. He calls it a useful book that puts the experience of the Trump presidency in a deeply historic and indeed civilizational light. That's coming from Newt Gingrich. And the book is from Post Hill Press. This is an independent publisher. And I mention that because it also counts talk radio host Dan Bongino and our own K.T. McFarland among its authors.
A lot of criticism of the GOP for a lack of diversity when it comes to representation in the Congress and even at the local level. What's the fall looking like for the GOP?
Well, the fall looks very busy in that department because we've got some very authentic GOP diversity for all of those who don't care for the GOP to think about. This is coming from Calvin Moore. He's actually the communication director for the Congressional Leadership Fund. This is a super PAC, and it's dedicated to winning a GOP majority in the U.S. House. This is what he says. Republicans have built the strongest, most diverse, and most compelling class of recruits for Congress in recent memory, including more Republican women than ever before. And this is coming from Calvin Moore. He has the numbers. Here's who's filing for to run for a House seat in the fall. And Mr. Moore says there are more than 200 women, 180 minority candidates, and 250 veterans. And they're willing to go the distance. And he also, Mr. Moore also points out that was that huge group of people, that's hundreds of women, minority candidates, and veterans. He points out that there are just 17 seats to take back the majority. So numbers to think about.
The cause of death on death certificates has gotten some attention recently with COVID-19. And in those cases where it was either COVID-19 as the cause or perhaps someone just died with COVID-19, death certificates now becoming controversial among climate alarmists?
Yes, this was a very popular item in the Inside the Beltway column this week. Because the whole environmental cause has just taken a very interesting turn. And we're going to turn to our friend Mark Morano. He's the founder of Climate Depot. If you haven't been there, you should go. This is a news site which tracks all the alarmist reports about the climate and all kinds of academic trends. And here's what he says. Professors in academia are touting a new study that is being used to call for climate change to be added as a cause of death on death certificates. I repeat, they want climate change to be used on death certificates as the cause of death. This is coming from the Australian National University Medical School. It was just published this month in The Lancet Planetary Health. And here's what the author is saying. Climate change is a killer, but we don't acknowledge it on death certificates. Death certification needs to be modernized. Indirect causes should be reported with all death certification prompting for external factors contributing to death. And these death data must be coupled with large-scale environmental data sets so the impact assessments can be done. This is what the authors are saying. Given the focus on COVID-19 infection rates and death tolls, it appears the climate activists in academia may want in on the scary and emotional death toll counts in order to draw attention back to their climate cause. That's coming again from Mark Morano. So I don't know what to make of that. It kind of is like Iggy and hair-raising, but they want climate change on the death certificate, so there you go. That's modern life for you.
Let's look ahead to the fall. A lot of talk in a lot of jurisdictions about the kids going back to school. L.A. County has some plans, and what do they have in mind?
Yes, indeed. Los Angeles County out in wonderful California has it all going on. In fact, they have actually beaten the state of California in making their plan. And this is a big jumbo plan for reopening the public school classrooms. And it's 43 pages long. That will tell you a lot. But according to Los Angeles County, among the requirements for their COVID-19 era schools, they want self-contained classrooms, masks for each student, only 16 students per class, one-way hallways, floor markings for foot traffic, isolation rooms for those who are suspected of being sick. Lunch will only be eaten at the desk. And out on the playground, there's one ball for the kids to play with by themselves. They also want hybrid learning, distance learning, independent study as a mainstay of the curriculum. There will be mental health support for the kids offered through a calming and quiet area in the classroom. And this is just a very small part of a 43-page guide that they have put out. But these new requirements are going to affect 2 million students. And it's confusing even me. I'll just put it this way. The California state officials are not going to issue their own requirements until later in June. But this is just the beginning, according to County School Superintendent Deborah Duardo. She said this in a statement. This is just the beginning. We plan to continue this work through the summer to support schools as they prepare to welcome families back virtually or in person this fall. While plans to reopen schools will look different across our 80 districts, one thing is for certain, our top priorities must be the health and safety of students and staff, and we must be guided by directives from our public health officials as we focus on ensuring learning that it all continues. This is what the LA Times had to say about all of that. The safe reopening of schools in California and throughout the nation compels the reimagining or abandoning of long-held traditions and goals of the American school, and where playtime, socialization, and hands-on support have long been essential to the learning equation. So this is going to be a work in progress, but that's what L.A. County has in store for their kids.
Well, on the positive side, it beats the online approach for the fall. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times, thank you as always. And you can follow her on Twitter, at Harper Bulletin.
Thanks a lot, Rick, and have a good day, everybody.
It's 6:48 on the Saturday Morning Update. We'll talk to Gordon Chang coming up next, but first, a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Earlier accident on the inner loop of the Beltway and College Park at Route 1 completely cleared away. All lanes open and no delays through that area. Do keep in mind in the district there is a ramp closure. The ramp from the outbound Suitland Parkway to go northbound on 295 is closed in that long-term work zone. And also watch out for the work zone on New York Avenue in both directions between the 3rd Street Tunnel and 1st Street. Two lanes do get by in each direction, and the center median has been removed. Now, in Langley Park, there is some road work right now in both directions on University Boulevard between Riggs Road and Campus Drive, where you'll find the right lane closed. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Storm.
Plenty of sunshine on this Saturday. We will see falling levels of humidity with dew points back in the 50s by this afternoon. Highs today into the lower 80s. Tonight clear and comfortably cool. Lows in the 50s in the suburbs, near 60 degrees downtown. Sunday, more of the same. Sunny with low humidity. Highs cooler in the lower 70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
67 degrees in the nation's capital, 649 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. Thank you very much for joining us, and it is great to be joined by Gordon Chang. So many stories in the news this week about China and developments, and Gordon is an expert on all things China. He has authored a recent booklet, The Great U.S.-China Tech War, and he's also authored The Coming Collapse of China. Gordon, good morning. Great to have you with us.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rick.
Well, I follow you on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang, and one of your tweets, you say that China deliberately released the coronavirus. There's been a lot of talk in the mainstream media about it. We haven't had a chance to talk about it with all of the things going on. And I just wanted you to clarify what's behind that statement.
The Chinese admitted that the coronavirus was human-to-human transmissible only on January 20. But doctors in Wuhan knew that it was H2H, as it's called, no later than the second week of December, which means that Beijing knew about it a little bit later. So if during those 5 weeks China had said nothing about this issue, it would have been grossly irresponsible. But what Beijing tried to do was to convince the world that it was not human-to-human transmissible. In other words, they were lying. And that's the basis of the January 14th tweet from the World Health Organization, which said, based upon information from China, there's no clear evidence that this is human-to-human transmissible. Well, of course, that lulled health officials around the world into not taking precautions that they otherwise would have adopted. But the story gets worse, because Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, pressured countries not to impose travel restrictions and quarantines on arrivals from China. You put those two things together, and you've got to ask yourself, is there any other explanation but a malicious spread? And the answer is no, because we don't know what Xi Jinping was thinking. But if after having seen what the coronavirus did to his country, if he wanted to level the playing field by spreading it elsewhere, he would have done exactly what, in fact, he did. And there's other aspects to this, but primarily the case rests upon those two facts. For 5 weeks, they lied about the human-to-human transmissibility, and they pressured countries to take arrivals from China. That inevitably led to the spread of the disease, which means that all those who have been infected and all those who have died outside China, that was the result of a deliberate and malicious act.
The president announced a number of actions to be taken against China on Friday, and he also announced the U.S. will pull out of the World Health Organization. He said China had pressured the WHO to, quote, mislead the world over the origins of the pandemic. Tell us your assessment of the relationship between China and the World Health Organization.
Yeah, China controls the WHO. That's clear. We know that the WHO knew that this was human-to-human transmissible by the end of December. First of all, Taiwan notified the WHO of human-to-human transmissibility on December 31. And also, Maria von Kerkhoff, who's a senior WHO doctor, she's a specialist in MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. She knew that this was human-to-human transmissible. She told her superiors in the WHO. They just ignored her. And, of course, we talked about the January 14th tweet from WHO, which WHO officials had to know was a deliberate falsification on the part of China. Also, WHO supported Xi Jinping's pressure campaign on accepting arrivals from China. There's that January 10th statement from WHO. We know that the WHO delayed the declaration of a public health emergency of international concern. They delayed the declaration of a pandemic declaration. So clearly WHO was working for China. It wasn't working for global health. Now, of course, the doctors and other professionals of WHO do great work, but their work is nullified by the political leadership, and so it was right for President Trump to pull the funding and the relationship between America and the WHO. We need a better organization, and that organization right now is unreformable.
At the White House on Friday, President Trump called out China for, quote, espionage to steal our industrial secrets, of which there are many. He announced steps to protect American investors from Chinese financial practices. The president also blasted Beijing for passing a national security law that fundamentally undermines Hong Kong's autonomy. And the president also announced actions on other fronts. What is your analysis of the action that the president is taking?
Well, what surprised me about the Friday announcement, and it was only a little over 9 minutes, it was the comprehensive nature of President Trump's actions. You know, everyone expected him to do something on Hong Kong, but really it was far broader than Hong Kong. It was the blocking of entry of Chinese students who were linked with the Chinese military. It was the Chinese companies that list in U.S. markets. You know, it was, of course, Hong Kong. I mean, he went through a whole list of, and the WHO funding. So I think that it really shows that President Trump has given up on engagement of China, that he's given up on a relationship with Beijing, and he's just going to go after them. And it's really important that he do so because China, a year ago, declared a quote-unquote people's war on us. We Americans, we just ignore what the Chinese say if it doesn't fit in with our conceptions. We have to start listening to their propaganda because we didn't listen to Osama bin Laden, and we're not listening to the Chinese now.
And what do you think this means for the trade relations with China and the U.S.?
Well, I think that President Trump did not cancel the Phase One trade deal, which was signed January 15th. But that deal is dying, and it's dying because the Chinese have one principal obligation, and that is to buy an additional $200 billion in U.S. goods and services over a two-year period, considering 2017 as a baseline. China is buying some U.S. products, but at a rate which is extremely slow. They're not going to be able to fulfill their commitment. Now, a lot of people say, well, look, we've got a coronavirus epidemic. How can we expect the Chinese to fulfill their commitment? This is force majeure. This is an unforeseen circumstance. No, it isn't, Rick. This agreement was signed January 15th. By January 15th, the Chinese knew well what was going on with the coronavirus. So I can't believe that they're entitled to any relief. And by the way, they sent their officials into the East Room of the White House on January 15th, each of those Chinese officials a potential carrier of the coronavirus. This was grossly irresponsible.
Gordon Chang, and you can follow Gordon on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Thank you for such a thorough analysis, Gordon.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, and stay safe.
And you too. 657, it is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Information you can depend on.
24 hours, 7 days a week of news.
And your friends on the radio.
I thank you for your friendship as well.
On the air, on our app, on your smart speaker.
That's correct.
Stay with us for continuing coverage of the corona crisis. 105.9 FM WMAL.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It is a Saturday Morning Update. So glad that you have joined us this morning. And coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, the president facing a crisis in race relations in this country. We'll talk about it with John Gizzi. We'll also talk with Cheryl Atkison, and she will have some very interesting previews of what's coming up on Full Measure tomorrow. And if you missed Full Measure, by the way, last week, she did a very interesting interview with President Trump, the full show. And we'll talk a little bit about the president. And also, when we talked to her this morning, Stephen Hatfill, remember the former biodefense researcher for the U.S. Army? He was accused in the 2001 anthrax attacks. And, of course, those accusations turned out to be false accusations. He was later exonerated. Well, he actually is doing work on pandemics and some interesting information on pandemics. We'll talk about that with Cheryl coming up. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us, and we're going to talk with Tony about the military and its involvement now in the protests and quelling violence around the country. The National Guard has been sent in to a number of cities, and also there is now talk of bringing up active duty military to move them into Minneapolis. We'll talk with Tony about that, and we'll talk with KT McFarland. She joins us, and you probably heard that the transcripts of the telephone calls between General Michael Flynn and the Russian Ambassador Kislyak, those transcripts were released yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, and obviously KT McFarland on the transition team at the time, working very closely with General Flynn. She has read through those transcripts. We'll get her reaction. That's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, and we will head to Clayton Neville. He has been covering the SpaceX launch. You know, it was scrubbed earlier in the week due to the weather. There's a 50-50 chance of a weather issue today in Florida. SpaceX is scheduled to launch this afternoon, but again, a question mark due to the weather. And Clayton Neville's got the latest for us. That's coming up as well in the 7 o'clock hour. Stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.